Hi, I'm Dr. Chuck Day. I want to draw your attention to the word servant in the Bible. Now, in Romans chapter 1, Paul introduces himself as Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, an apostle set apart for the gospel by God. And I've heard so much talking about it. Now, the word for servant in Greek can also mean a slave, bond servant. So it has wide application, but certainly it's somebody who's doing menial tasks. I had somebody give me a translation of Romans where it says, Paul, a man zealously passionate for God. Well, okay, I guess that's one way to see the word servant of God. But I think that we miss really part of the point of Paul. Paul believes that a leader needs to serve. The word servant doesn't mean somebody who sets out the chairs, even though, you know, that is a very nice, humble way to serve. And Paul would have been happy to do that. The quintessential servant of God is Moses. Moses, my servant, is a phrase that's used all over the Old Testament, even in the beginning of Joshua, where God says to him, Moses, my servant is dead. So the servant of God is Moses. And it means then that the servant is the person, not who's the humble person and the menial person. It's the person who is actually God's slave, the person who is actually even the leader. And this is why Jesus, even at the Last Supper, you know, at a point in the meal where he's supposed to wash the disciples' hands, he washes their feet as a servant would do. And so for Paul to say, Paul, a servant and an apostle, he's not saying, hey, I'm just a worthless, you know, the least of. He's actually saying, I'm a leader. Paul saw himself that way, and he sees servanthood as not a synonym for leadership. He means that the leaders are obligated to go through things. This is why for Paul to be an apostle, the marks of apostolic ministry means you've been beaten. It means you've been jailed, that the leaders have to go through the most. And so I want to impress upon you, be a servant of God, stay humble for sure, but understand that if God's called you his servant, he's called you to rise up as a leader. So that we find that even others call themselves servant, or called servants. David is called God's servant. You know, my servant David. There is that aspect of being, you know, extra polite, you know, where you refer to yourself as someone's servant. But I want you to understand that service is leadership. So that in Romans chapter 12, when he says in verse 6 that we have gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in accordance with our faith, if service in our serving, and in that service, he's not talking about, okay, that there's some people who prophesy and there's some people who just, you know, they stay in the background and they make things in the kitchen and make the coffee and so on. No, no, no. He's using the word service there as apostolic ministry. And so he's saying that I need you to recognize those who are prophets, recognize those who are apostles, who he calls servants, and then to go from there. There are people who have ministry over the church, leadership, and you need to recognize them as servants of God, for you, that God, they're serving God by serving you. And so there's an aspect of the word servant, I feel like, that we haven't really understood. I need to serve, but I'm not someone's slave. I am actually the slave of God. And this is the point that I want you to understand. For Paul, to be God's servant is a noble calling. To be God's servant is a high calling. But there's a great responsibility as well. You are called to act as the lowest. You are called to serve God with your whole heart, with full zeal, and to be able to make a difference in people's life through serving, through working for them. Again, I don't take orders from Mary, I take orders from God. But what I do is I serve people as an expression of my service to God. So I want to impress that upon you and allow you to rise up, servant of God, rise up to obey God and serve people as a leader.